I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter Harmony Montgomery from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Courtroom coverage continues now.
Good morning, please be seated. Good morning. Any preliminary issues? Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You may be seated. When the state is ready, you may call your next witness.
Thank you. Your Honor, the state calls Officer Neil Pettinger. Just watch your step there, Officer. You remain standing. Raise your right hand. Do you swear that the testimony that you're about to provide will be the truth and nothing but the truth under the pains and penalties of perjury?
Yes, I do.
You can have a seat. Make yourself comfortable. There's some water out in front
of you. Officer Pentonen, can you start by stating and spelling your name for the record?
Officer Neil Pentonen, N-E-I-L-P-E-N-T-T-I-N-E-N.
And Officer Pentonen, how are you presently employed?
I'm employed by the Manchester Police Department.
How long have you worked for the Manchester Police Department?
Since January of 2012.
And what is your current assignment?
I'm currently assigned to the Community Policing Unit.
And can you tell the jurors what that is?
The Community Policing Unit, we deal with mostly neighborhood issues, homeless issues, anything outside of the scope of patrol. We'll negotiate things, do community meetings, things of that nature.
And what are your current duties and responsibilities on that community policing unit?
I am in what's referred to as an area officer, so I cover a section of the city when people call in neighborhood complaints or general issues that patrol doesn't have time to deal with, we go deal with those things.
You mentioned starting with the Manchester Police Department in 2012.
Yes.
What did you do for work prior to that?
Prior to that, I was a police officer with the Scottsdale, Arizona Police Department. I was hired there in April of 2005.
And when you came from Scottsdale to New Hampshire, did you go through the police academy?
I attended the Mesa, Arizona Police Academy when I was hired in 2005. And when I was hired by the Manchester Police Department, I attended the New Hampshire State Academy, only the law package, because I was already a certified officer.
Do you remember what year you did you graduate?
New Hampshire, it was 2012.
And sorry, I asked two questions there. Did you graduate from the Police Standards and Training Academy?
In New Hampshire? In New Hampshire, it was just the law package.
Right. And in Arizona, did you graduate from the Police Standards and
Training? I did. I graduated the Mesa, Arizona Police Academy in 2005.
So in total, you have 19 years of law enforcement experience?
Correct.
I want to switch gears, Officer Pentinen. In your current assignment with the Manchester Police Department, do you have occasion to conduct traffic accident investigations?
Occasionally I do.
And can you walk the jurors through what your standard protocol is when you're responding to such an accident?
Standard protocol when I respond to an accident, when I arrive on scene, I'll do an immediate assessment of the vehicles if we need to get them off the road. I will immediately ask if anyone needs medical attention. If they respond they do, I'll get the fire department there or whatever medical needs. If not, then I will immediately ask the drivers for their information, their driver's license, insurance information, their phone number, and as well as the registration of the vehicle. After that, I will ask who the occupants are of the vehicle and get their names, dates of birth, phone numbers, addresses, all for the accident report.
So you mentioned speaking to the drivers of the vehicles, and then you mentioned getting the vehicle occupant information. Where do you usually get that information from?
I will ask whoever's there. I'll speak to each person individually and get their information. Unless it's a child, then I will ask the adult who's on scene with them.
Do you typically speak to every individual other than children? Do you typically speak to every individual in each car?
Yes, I do.
And what's the purpose of that?
To get a brief synopsis of what occurred on the accident from different perspectives.
And do you document these investigations?
I do.
How do you document them?
I will immediately take notes on a notepad, and then I will fill out an accident exchange form for the individuals involved in the accident, which will include insurance information, phone numbers, addresses, and which is required by the police department. And then I will, when that is all done, I will make a traffic accident report documenting everything from the scene.
And again, is it necessary during, and we're still talking your standard protocol, is it necessary during these investigations for you to see every individual involved?
Yes, I will need to see who's there.
And can you walk us through how that occurs? How do you see those individuals? Do you order them all out of the vehicle or something else?
If it's a minor accident, most of them will just stay in the vehicle. If they are on scene, I will ask who is in the vehicle and take a look at each person. You do have occasions where people will show up who weren't involved in the accident, might be related, but I will make sure that I look at each person.
Officer Pentinen, I want to turn your attention to November 29th of 2019. So with that in mind, were you working in your official capacity as an officer with the Manchester Police Department on November 29th of 2019?
Yes, I was.
And are you familiar with someone named Adam Montgomery?
Yes, I am.
And can you tell the jurors your familiarity?
On that day, I responded to I was dispatched to a traffic accident at South Wilson Street in Vinton involving two vehicles. And Mr. Montgomery identified himself as the driver of one of the vehicles.
Now, you mentioned these reports that you write following your investigation. Did you write a report following your interactions on that day?
I did.
And have you had a chance to review that before you came here to testify?
Yes, I have.
The accident that we're talking about from November 29th of 2019, does that accident stand out to you in your memory?
It does.
Why is that?
Because Mr. Montgomery was involved in another accident a few days later. And in my police career, that's the only time I've had one individual in two accidents within the same week.
Okay, and we'll talk about both of those accidents, but I want to focus on November 29th. And I think you said that stands out to you.
Yes, it does.
Can you walk the jurors through the initial dispatch that you received and your response to the scene?
It was a two-vehicle accident. I arrived. I was working in the patrol capacity that day. I showed up. There were two vehicles at the scene. Multiple individuals in one of the vehicles, and there was just one driver in the other vehicle. I went through the standard protocol when I arrived at the location.
And when you say multiple individuals in one of the vehicles, whose vehicle was that?
That was Mr. Montgomery's vehicle.
And were you able to identify the individuals that were in Mr. Montgomery's vehicle?
I did.
And who was in Mr. Montgomery's vehicle?
In Mr. Montgomery's vehicle, I believe Kayla Montgomery identified herself as one of the rear passengers. There was an individual in the front seat. I would need as an adult female in the front seat, I would need to look at my report to refresh my memory of her name.
Do you believe that looking at your report, reviewing your report, would refresh your recollection of
Yes, it would.
Your Honor, may I approach the witness?
Yes, you may.
If it's been refreshed. Yeah.
The front passenger identified herself as Tabitha Scott.
And Officer Pentonen, who else, if anyone, did you observe in the vehicle?
There were two children in the vehicle.
Did you obtain their names?
I did obtain their names.
And what were those two children's names?
Again, I'd have to look at my report to refresh my memory of those.
Please do so. You can't read from it. You can't read it out loud, but feel free to refresh your recollection. Just look up when you're done.
They were identified as Seamus Montgomery and Declan Montgomery.
Did you note their relative seating locations?
I did.
And what were they?
I believe it was the center passenger and rear right passenger.
Do you know which one was in the center and which one was rear right?
I don't recall which one was where.
Is that noted in your
report? It should be noted in my report, yes.
Please, if you believe that looking at your report would refresh your recollection, please do so.
Seamus was in the rear middle, and Declan was in the rear right.
Did you see any other children in the defendant's vehicle?
I did not.
And did you, during your response, did you actually look inside of the defendant's vehicle?
I don't recall if I looked in the vehicle or not. It was so long ago.
Other than full of people, how would you describe the defendant's vehicle?
The defendant's vehicle, aside from having five people in there, there was clutter in the vehicle.
Is that something that you saw?
I did.
So, Officer, I want to switch gears. I want to talk about that second accident just several days later. So I want to turn your attention to December 2nd of 2019. Were you working in your official capacity with the Manchester Police Department on December 2nd of 2019?
Yes, I was.
And on that day, did you respond to another accident involving the defendant?
I did.
And can you walk the jurors through your response, how you initially became aware and what you did after getting that information?
I was dispatched, I believe it was on Franklin Street, or in that general area, to a two-vehicle accident. And again, same thing. There were only two drivers in this accident. I immediately recognized Mr. Montgomery having dealt with him a few days prior.
And again, did you follow your standard protocol after your response?
I did.
After you arrived at the location?
I did.
And who, if anyone, did you document in the defendant's vehicle on that occasion?
I believe Mr. Montgomery was the only person in the vehicle.
Do you believe that looking at your report might refresh your recollection?
Oh, yes, it would.
I can have just a moment. Can I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
According to my report, Cale Montgomery was a passenger in the vehicle.
And during that response, did you note her relative seating location?
She was in the front passenger seat.
On that occasion, did you look inside of the defendant's vehicle?
I don't recall if I looked inside or not.
Did you note anything about the defendant's vehicle?
On this occasion, it was the same vehicle I had dealt with the week before. The only thing that I noted about it was the new damage on the vehicle.
And I'm sorry, I want to go back to that November 29th response that you had. Around what time that day did you respond to the scene?
Again, I would have to look at my report to refresh my memory of the exact time. That was approximately 3:53 p.m.
And how about on December 2nd? What time did you arrive on the scene?
Again, I would have to look at my report to get the time that I arrived. That was approximately 10:43 a.m.
If I could have just a moment, Your Honor. No further questions. Thank you, Officer Pentonen. The defense may have some questions for you.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name's Caroline Smith, and I do have a couple of questions for you. The first one involves the December 2nd accident. That you were just talking about in 2019. And where was that accident?
I would need to look at my report to get the exact address.
Do you still have it up there?
I have it up here.
Okay, go ahead.
That was at Franklin and Market Street.
And that's right around the clinic at Franklin?
It is in that general area, yes.
Okay. And the one at on 1129, where was that?
That was South Wilson and Vinton Street.
Okay. Is that near a Burger King?
It is not far. I believe approximately half mile, if I were to guess.
Okay. On the, I don't mean to skip back and forth, so I'll stick with the November 29. You don't have a specific recollection of how you talked to people, right?
Not specifically, no.
Whether who was inside the car, who was outside the car when you talked to them, right?
No.
But if people were inside the car, you probably would have walked up to the car and talked to them through the window, right?
Yes, that's generally what I do.
Okay. And you saw the two boys in the back?
I saw two boys there. I don't remember if they were inside the vehicle or outside of the vehicle.
Okay. And when adults are driving around with, when anybody is driving around with children in the car, you recall that you were given the ages of the children, right?
Yes.
And one was over a year?
Again, I would have to look at the my report for the...
Please do. And I meant to say under a year.
And to note what the dates are, what their birth dates are in the as of the date. Yes, one would be under a year or approximately that age.
And when adults are driving around with a child under one, that child is to be in a baby seat, right?
Yes.
And if the child is not in a baby seat, what happens?
Generally, it's against the law and would be up to the officer's discretion to issue a summons for that or not.
Okay. And second child was under three?
Approximately.
And what are the restraints to be on a child under three?
Also in a car seat.
Okay. And how about a child of five?
Again, I'm 5 years old. I'm not sure. I would need to look at the exacts, but I believe it's any child under a certain size also would need a car seat.
At the very least, I think it's under 12, have to be buckled in the seatbelt?
Yes.
And so you were aware of two children, right?
Yes.
And you had no concerns about their restraints, the child seat?
From what I remember, I do not. I did not.
By the way, I did say that the 1129 was outside, we said, I believe, outside Vinton and Wilson. The 12-2 was outside the clinic.
Correct.
And the 12-2 outside the clinic was 1043?
Approximately, yes.
Okay, still morning hours.
Yes.
And the 1129 was in the afternoon, 3:53, 4-ish?
Correct.
Still light out, right?
For that time of year, yes.
Okay. Now, you also said that you gathered pertinent information about the driver in the car, like the license, registration, insurance?
Correct.
And Mr. Montgomery had a license, right?
He did. He provided me a New Hampshire license.
Okay. And as far as you could tell, it was valid, right?
Yes.
Because otherwise, there would have been a problem there too, right?
Yes. Another thing I do is I will have dispatch do a driver's license status of any individuals who are operating the motor vehicles.
Okay. And so then on the accident on the 2nd, there were only people in the front seats of the car, no one in the back seat, right?
That's what I documented. I don't recall the specifics of the vehicle, but that's what I documented.
Okay. And again, whether you talked to the driver inside the car or outside the car, you would have talked to the driver, right?
Yes.
And if the passenger was inside the car, you would have walked up to the passenger side to talk to her, right?
I would speak to him either through the driver's side or depending on the situation, sometimes through the driver's side, sometimes through the passenger side, but I will speak to them directly.
Okay. And you did not see any children on that day, right?
No.
You didn't see any boys in the car?
No. If I did, I would have documented it.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Seating on the... I'm sorry. I'm going back again when I said I wouldn't. On 1129, you specifically documented the seating?
Correct.
And Seamus was in the middle?
I believe so.
So there would have been... you can check your report. I think you documented it, right?
Yes.
And so Declan was on one side, Seamus on the other, and then you would have noticed Kayla... or been told that Kayla was on the other side, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any objection to that?
No.
Let me step down. You're excused. State may call its next witness.
Your Honor, the state will call Mr. Matthew Gendron to the stand, please. Gendron, if you would remain standing for just a brief moment, please. Thank you. Would you please raise your right hand, sir? You solemnly swear that the testimony you will give this jury will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Please feel free first. Have a seat. Mr. Gendron, thank you for coming today. I wondered if you would please go ahead and state your full name and then spell both your first and your last name for the record.
It's Matthew Gendron. MattheGendron.
Okay. And Mr. Gendron, what town are you currently living in?
Manchester.
How long have you lived here in Manchester?
About 12 years or so.
Okay. And right now, are you working?
Yes, sir.
What type of work do you do in general?
I work in a restaurant.
How long have you been doing that kind of work?
Most of my life, but I've been at my current job for close to 5 years now.
Let me ask, at one point in 2019, did you ever work at a Dunkin' Donuts?
Yes, sir.
And where was that Dunkin' Donuts?
It's located at Beach Street in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Okay. While you were there, did you ever work with somebody by the name of Adam Montgomery?
Yes, sir.
And with regards to Adam Montgomery, do you know who his wife is?
Or was? Kayla Montgomery.
Okay. Did you meet her there as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how long did you work there with Adam Montgomery and Kayla Montgomery?
Probably around a year or so.
Okay. How long overall did you work at that Dunkin' Donuts?
I think I worked there 2 years.
Okay. Did you get the job, or were you working there when Adam Montgomery started working there, or was he working there when you got there?
He was already employed when I got there.
Okay. And what about Kayla Montgomery?
Same.
Same thing? All right. Did you ever hang out with Adam Montgomery?
A few times.
Okay. And did you ever friend him on Facebook?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Would you send messages back and forth to each other?
Yep.
All right. And back in 2019, about how often would you guys talk with each other?
I try to initiate a conversation every week or so.
Okay. Were you still working at Dunkin' Donuts when Adam Montgomery stopped working at Dunkin' Donuts?
Yes.
Show you what's been marked State's Exhibit 101. Do you recognize that person?
Yes, sir.
And who is this?
That is Adam Montgomery.
That's the person that you worked with?
Yes, sir.
And I'd like to also show you what's been marked State's Exhibit 11 for identification purposes. More exhibit. This one to mark State's Exhibit 11 for identification purposes only.
Okay.
And I'm going to, first of all, I'm just going to remove these old police reports here. I want to ask you just about that particular exhibit. I wonder if you could go ahead and flip through all three pages just for a moment for yourself, just to orient yourself with it. Thank you.
general, these particular images, what are these images of?
Of a Facebook chat with myself and Adam and Kayla.
And was that on your Facebook page?
Correct.
With regards to the conversation that you have there, do you remember that conversation?
Yes.
And do you remember having looked at those images at the time that you received them?
Yes.
Other than the fact that they're on paper and there's a little red sticker down on the bottom of the first page, any sort of alterations or changes to those images compared to when you saw them and you first got those messages?
Not to my knowledge.
And are they accurate in terms of the time and date that you remember getting this message from the defendant?
Yes, sir.
At this point, Your Honor, I'd ask for the identification to be stricken from State's Exhibit 11 and to publish, please.
Any objection? I'm sorry, you said no objection.
Without
objection, thank you. The ID is stricken, it's entered as a full exhibit.
Here, if for some reason you need to refer to it, but I'd like to draw your attention onto the screen and have you
walk us through this exhibit together so we can understand this message that you got as you testified from the defendant and his Facebook page. So back in, let's go ahead to December 8th of 2019. Were you still working at Dunkin' Donuts on December 8th?
I don't recall, maybe.
With regards to at that point in time, do you know if, you said you're not too sure if you were
at
working
at the time of these messages, I was at a different restaurant.
You were at a different restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're no longer working with the defendant at Dunkin'
Correct.
Donuts. All right. I'd like to go ahead and draw your attention. You can either look down or look at the screen behind you. And I want to go ahead and draw your attention to page one of Exhibit 11. And with regards to that, is this what you're seeing on the screen behind you? Can you just confirm for us that is page one of Exhibit 11?
Yes.
Okay. And I'd like to go ahead and ask you about the conversation itself. First of all, what time did you get these messages on, specifically on the 8th? When did they start appearing?
After midnight.
After midnight on the 8th? Okay. And specifically, what time did you first get the very first message here?
From 12:13 a.m., it says.
12:13 a.m.?
Yep.
Okay. With regards to that particular time, could you go ahead and please read that message for us, the message that you received at 12:13 a.m.?
Hey, need help ASAP. Please need a jumper cables ASAP.
And separate from that, did you get another message right afterwards, shortly thereafter?
Yes.
And what time did you get that second message?
12:58.
Okay. And what was the message that you got then?
It says, I need a jump. My car died. We've been sleeping in our car, and our battery just died.
Now, separate from that, did you then start responding back to this Facebook message from Mr. Montgomery?
Yes.
All right. And what did you write?
I said, I don't have any cables.
Okay. And then what's the next message that you received in this conversation?
This is Kayla. Will you bring me to a store to get them? I'll give you gas money. We will literally die tonight.
Okay. And with regards to that message, at that point, when it says, this is Kayla, who do you believe now has the phone?
I believe it was Kayla. That was a joint account they had together.
Okay. In general, when you received messages from this account, were you able to tell who it was from, whether it was from Adam Montgomery or whether it was from Kayla?
Not until they identified themselves.
Okay. And what about with regards to how they wrote, the type of words that they used? Did you notice a difference?
Not really.
Okay. What's the response that you wrote back after that? You received that message about, we will literally die tonight.
I just got home from work and have to get up early for work tomorrow. What's even open and where are you guys?
Okay. So to clarify, at this point when you're writing, you said, I don't have cables. Was that true?
Yes.
Okay. So you didn't,
I didn't have jumper cables.
Okay. when you say, when you move on about having to get up early for work tomorrow, you asked where they were. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Why did you ask that question?
I was just curious as to where they wanted me to drive all around to at that hour.
Pardon me. Continuing on with the bottom part of page one here of the exhibit, I wondered if you could go ahead and what's the response you got to that?
It's okay, Matt. I don't know whether it is open. I'm sorry.
That IDK, does that mean I don't know? Or I don't know?
I don't know, yeah.
Okay. And what did you say back?
It's not your fault. I just don't have cables. It's not so I know what's open.
Okay. And so at that time of night, did you know what was open or not? All right, it has to be a verbal answer of yes or no.
Sir.
I'm sorry, because the microphone's picking up and recording. I wondered if you could go ahead and turn to page 2 now and walk us through the next part of this conversation that you're having. After that you said you didn't know what was open, what message did you start getting on the account?
I think either if mobile don't have them, the only place is Amherst Walmart. So I know you need to get out early. Have a good night. Sorry.
You said get out early. Is that what was written?
That's what it looks like was written. There's a lot of typos.
Okay. Certainly, would you say that the typos that you're seeing here is different from what you saw before when you got the message saying that it was from Kayla?
I would assume it's from the same person still.
Okay. Even though the typos...
They didn't identify they changed people, so I'm assuming it's still Kayla.
Okay. And so what do you respond back when they say, I'm sorry?
I said, it's okay. Try to have a good night.
Well, let me just... Oh, excuse me. That's right. Let me just try to get to it. You say, it's okay. Try to have a good night.
Yep.
And what's the response that you got back after that?
I'm going to try. We can die in this weather. We can't, right? We can just really... I don't, can't even read that.
Is it C-I-L-D? Are we
C-I-L-D.
Reading that right? Okay.
And it said, hey, I'm at Colonial Village, and Kimmy said she has jumper cables.
Looking at that first line, the I'm going to try, can we, I'm going to try, can we die in this weather? And then is it we, how does they spell the next word after we?
Looks like C-S-N-T.
Is it fair to assume that might be can't?
Correct.
Okay. Right, we can just, is that V-E?
That's what I got.
Okay. Just V, really, and the C-I-L-D. What do you think that word is?
Probably cold.
Really cold, okay. And then the line afterwards?
Hey, I'm at Colonial Village, and Kimmy said she has jumper cables.
Who's Kimmy? Do you know who Kimmy is?
Kimberly Frain.
And were you Facebook friends with her?
Yep, and I also worked with her as well.
Right.
The same location.
And with regards to that, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and flip over to page 3 now. And, if you could stay at the bottom of page 2. I apologize, we didn't finish here. You said, can Kimmy jump you? Is that correct?
That's what I said, yeah.
What did they respond?
She don't have a car. That's why I've been messaging everyone.
Okay. And just for clarity's sake, when you said she don't have her car, what was actually spelled?
Was actually spelled?
Yep.
She don't have GER car. She don't have her car.
Fair to say, though, you interpreted that as her car?
Correct.
All right. And that's why I've been messaging everyone. If you could go to page 3 of that exhibit and kind of take us through how this conversation ended that day. After they said she don't have her car, that's why I've been messaging everyone, what was the next thing that you received, the next message?
So do YIH not want to do that?
What did you interpret that to mean?
Probably being, do you not want to do that?
Okay. And what did you write back?
I don't really feel like running all over the place at this hour of the night. Did you try a 24-hour road assistance thing?
What were you suggesting to them when you said 24-hour road assistance?
Like AAA thing? Or just one of those type of services, I guess.
Have you ever used that service in the past?
I didn't have it at the time, but I have used it since.
Oh, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. I have used it since. And did you find that they do have that ability to be able to jump a car?
Yeah.
All right. And if you could go ahead and take us through the next part of your conversation here. What did they respond after you suggested that they try to find somebody who could do the jump service?
It's not our car, Matt. Our car died today. I'm assuming the word is friend is letting us stay in his... It's all good, Matt. Don't worry about it. I just don't want to freeze tonight. I've messaged everyone else.
So, again, some of those words misspelled?
Correct.
And when you were just reading for us, is that your interpretation of those misspellings?
Yes, sir.
All right. What did they say after saying we've messaged everyone else?
N-O-O-B-E, I'm assuming means nobody has cables or nobody has their cars.
Okay.
Spelled cats.
Spelled cats, but interpreted as cars.
Correct.
Okay. With regards to that, what did you say back to when they were said, nobody has cables and nobody has cats? What did you write back?
I get all that. My roadside assistants can jump a car. They have helped me before. They don't ask for proof of ownership.
So when you write that back to them, what's the response that you got?
Yeah, no one of us has insurance. Don't worry about it, man.
And what time was that final message that day?
1:53 a.m.
In frame. Let me ask, did you, say, I don't know, maybe a month later in January of 2020, did you have any other Facebook messages from Adam Montgomery or any other discussions with Adam Montgomery about what happened that night?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. At any point in time, did you ever, was there ever a conversation with Adam Montgomery with regards to you not responding that night?
Also not to my memory.
Not to your memory?
It's been a while.
Okay. I could just have a moment, please, Your Honor. All right, Mr. Gendron, I have one final question for you. With regards to the time that you were asked to go ahead and provide a jump, and you had this conversation with the defendant, with regards to that, at that time, did you know where he was living?
I did not.
And were you ever made aware that he was homeless at that time?
That was the first time I found out.
Okay. When did you find out?
Well, during that message that they're living in their car, I had no idea.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Gendron. I don't have any further questions for you. I believe defense counsel will have a few.
Okay.
I do not. No questions, Judge.
All right. You may step down.
Thank you.
We'd ask for the witness to be excused, please, Your Honor.
Yes.
All right. He may be excused.
The testimony you give this jury.
Yeah.
The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Please feel free to have a seat.
Mr. Sweeney, as we're being recorded here today, would you please go ahead and state your full name? Spell both your first and your last name for the record.
Aaron Sweeney, AaronSweeney.
And Mr. Sweeney, what city do you currently reside in?
Manchester, New Hampshire.
Okay. How long have you been living here?
Since second grade, so a long time.
Long time. Okay. Are you currently working?
Yes.
And where do you work?
BJ's, right here in Manchester.
And what shift do you work for BJ's?
Third shift.
Okay, so let me ask you, it's about 9:55. How long have you been up?
I actually called out last night.
Okay.
So make sure I got sleep.
That's why I just want to make sure that you did get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. If for any reason you need me to restate your question or any lawyer to restate a question, just let us know and we'll be glad to do it, okay?
Okay.
All right. With regards to your work for BJ's, how long have you been working for them?
Almost a year.
Year. And prior to that, back in 2019, what sort of job did you have back then?
I believe that's when I was towing.
Okay. And were you towing for a company called Auto City Towing?
Yes.
All right. I'd like to ask you about a particular tow back on December 7th of 2019 at the intersection of Webster and Elm Street around 12:52 in the afternoon. Do you remember that tow?
A little bit, not fully.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, when you go ahead and you tow a car, can you kind of explain to the jury what sort of procedures that you go through when you're making a tow?
Our office just calls one of the drivers and we're handed a piece of paper saying where we're going and what it's for, and then we just proceed to the location.
What about when it's a vehicle that has broken down? Is there a way that Manchester Police Department might dispatch you out for a tow?
Yeah, they call our tow company and then our guy at the front desk dispatches us out, unless the individual themselves call for a tow.
Do you end up making contact with you go to do a tow?
No.
Just go straight from
Go straight to our front desk, and then we're handed a piece of paper, and then we go right to the scene.
When you get to a scene for a tow, what are some of the very first things that you do, just generally?
Just contact whatever vehicle's involved and find out what's going on and where it's going.
And from there, when you do have to use a tow, what kind of tow truck are we talking about?
Flatbed.
Flatbed?
Ones, yeah.
And could you go ahead and please explain to the jury what's the process you have to go through to put a car onto a flatbed as compared to, say, putting on a car where you're just kind of putting two wheels up and the back two wheels are rolling?
We just get in a good spot, we hook it up, and then we pull it up. That's it, really.
And what about when you have to do documentation of this tow? How do you document the tow that you're doing?
We have a separate tow slip, like the drivers use, and we just write, like, general information on it.
I'd like to go ahead and show you what's a Vidmark States Exhibit 3B for identification purposes only. And I'd also like to show you what is page 6 of what's Vidmark States Exhibit 3C for identification purposes only. And just have you take a look at those two documents for a moment, please.
Okay.
Okay. Do you recognize them?
Yes.
Okay. And let's go ahead and start with States Exhibit, the page 6 of States Exhibit 3C. How do you recognize that?
This is the tow slip that the drivers fill out.
Okay. So if you did a tow, is that the slip that you would fill out?
Yep.
And what about States Exhibit 3B for identification purposes? What's that?
This is what is typed out by the gentleman at the front desk.
Front desk?
What? Of Auto City.
Of Auto City?
Yep.
Okay. So that's not something that you yourself fill out?
No.
Okay. With regards to page 6 of States Exhibit 3C, on that particular one, who fills out that information?
I do.
And when do you fill that out?
We fill out just very little bit before the tow. Once we get to the tow, we can fill out more, or if we have to, we fill it out once we get back to the lot.
And by the time that you are done with that tow, when you drop the car back off at the lot, at that point, do you have to have the rest of that filled out?
Yep, so the rest of this is filled out, and then we give it back to the gentleman who types out the other one.
And with regards to, other than the fact that if you look at States Exhibit 3C, page 6, other than the fact that it's obviously not on the original paper, it's been photocopied, do you notice any other sort of changes or alterations from when you would have filled that out?
No.
Do you recognize your initials down there?
Yes.
Okay. And did you fill this form out?
Yes.
At this point in time, Your Honor, if I'm going to take these back from you for just a moment, sir. The state is going to move... page 6 of States Exhibit 3C, we'd move for the identification to be stricken from page 6 and to make it a child exhibit of 3C, make it 3C1.
Any objection?
To page 6, so should it, if the exhibit is more than one page, should it be a separate exhibit, like 3D? May we approach?
Correct. And I apologize, Mr. Sweeney. I just want to show you that page 6 from States Exhibit 3A, and then I'm going to show you, 3C, I'm also going to show you States Exhibit 3A for identification. Are those the same tow slips?
Yes.
And again, other than the fact that this one's a little bit easier to read and on it with a red sticker, any other sort of changes or alterations between those two?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. At this point, Your Honor, State moves for strike ID from States Exhibit 3A.
No objection. All right, the ID is stricken on 3A. It is entered as a full exhibit.
Mr. Smith,
Tony, what I'd like to do is to go ahead and give this to you to have right there, and permission to publish your.
Any objection?
No objection.
Yes, you may.
And Mr. Sweeney, I'm going to go ahead and have you be able to look at that photocopy up close. But I'm also going to have it projected on the screen behind you. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about the different sections of this form.
Okay.
And the information you filled out.
Mr. Sweeney, if you would just turn around just for the briefest of moments, and is that a copy of State's Exhibit 3A that you have in front of you?
Yes.
Fair to say it's kind of hard to read at that size, isn't it? Is it easier on the paper?
Yeah, I can read it.
Okay. Well, I'd like to go ahead and kind of go through a little bit of the information that you filled out on this form, and you could tell us a little bit more about the tow. First of all, where did you go to make this tow?
Corner of Webster and Elm.
On corner of Webster and Elm?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you ended up towing the car initially, did you bring it straight back to the lot or did you bring it somewhere else first?
I brought it over to the gas station that was on that same corner.
Would that be Budget Gas right on the corner?
Yes.
Okay. Why did you bring it there before bringing it back to the lot?
So they can get some things out of their car.
Do you always do that?
Only if it's safe enough or if there is a safe enough area to do it, I will. If not, I just direct them to come back to the shop.
Okay. When you were there, where did you park in the gas station parking lot?
Just close to Elm Street, like out of the way of the pumps.
All right. And at that point, did you allow some people to get some stuff out?
Yes.
Okay. Who got material out of the car?
I just only remember two gentlemen.
Two gentlemen?
Yeah.
Okay. Excuse me. And once you've towed a car for somebody to get things out of it, what do you have to do? Do they just kind of climb up the side of the truck or?
No. So what I did was I extended the bed back out and I tilted it down so they can go up the ramp.
Okay. And then did you see the two people do that? Get
yes.
things out of the car? Where did they put those things?
In another car.
Do you remember what that other car looked like?
No.
And the two men that you saw do this, do you remember what they looked like?
No.
Right. What kinds of things did you see get taken out of the car? Do you recall?
I don't remember. Typically, when people clean out their car, like especially on the side of the road, I just stay by my truck, give them space.
Okay.
I periodically look over to see if they're done.
And once they were finished, where did you bring this car?
Back to our lot
right.
at Auto City.
So let me ask you, with regards to the car itself, what kind of car was it that you towed?
A Sebring, as the slip says.
Okay. And let me ask, again, you filled out the slip on the day of, is that
yep.
correct? So fair to say that the information was fresh in your mind while you were there doing this?
Yes.
All right. And for the different areas that you might not know right off the top of your head, somebody's phone number, somebody's home address, how do you get that information?
If the person who's driving the vehicle is there, I just ask them.
Okay. When you fill the slip out, where does it go once you get done with it?
It goes to the gentleman at the front desk, and then he does whatever he has to do with it.
And let me ask, is that you earlier looked at State's Exhibit 3B. Is that you said that was a type-up version?
Yeah.
Is that where this information will go?
Yes.
What are some of the information in general? I'll ask you about specifics in a minute, but in general, what are some of the information that you record?
Just the VIN number, the make, the model.
Okay. VIN number, so is that a vehicle identification number?
Yes.
Okay. Do you also record things like mileage?
Nope.
Okay. Do you record a reason to make this tow?
Yes.
And what about your own mileage and going to make a tow? Is that important to record?
Yeah, we've always been told, like, the mileage from the start of the tow until we get back to our lot.
So what I'd like to do now is go through the different sections of the tow slip with you on State's Exhibit 3A and have you explain what we're looking at and the information that you filled in that day, all right?
Okay.
Okay. I'd like to go ahead and start focusing on the very top section there. Could you go ahead and just tell us what's the time that you made this tow?
12:52.
Okay. Morning or afternoon?
Afternoon.
Okay. And who was it that had requested the tow?
Manchester PD.
Is that typical?
Yeah, it's normal.
All right. What was the reason that you were towing the car?
Disabled vehicle.
And the intersection itself, could you say where that was?
Webster and Elm Street.
Pardon me. Where did you bring the car to?
Auto City.
Where's their tow lot?
It's on Commercial Street. It's right in the same building
okay.
as our office.
Same building as your office?
Yeah.
Okay. If you could go through as well, the information of the owner of the car, the driver, who do you get that from?
The driver, if they're there.
And who's the? What information did you write down in this report?
Adam Montgomery.
What address did he give you?
77 Guilford Street.
And this information would have come from him?
Yes.
All right. Next area I'd like to ask you about is a phone number. Did you get any phone number to contact him on?
No.
Did you ask for one, or would you have asked for one?
We usually ask for one, and if they don't give us it, then we don't expect them to come back.
Don't expect them to come back? What does that mean?
For the car.
Okay. At that point, it's believed that the car is going to be abandoned?
Yeah. That's what we assume.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you about some of the other information. How do you, the information that you write down about the car itself, I know you said the VIN number. Can we see that on the tow form?
Yes.
Okay. And what about the year of the car or the make of the car?
That is on there as well.
Okay. And could you, again, just give us the year, the make, and the model of car?
2010 Chrysler Sebring, silver.
Okay. Was there a license plate on this car?
Yes.
And what license plate was there?
436-8206.
Was that a New Hampshire plate?
Yes.
All right. And the color of the car, what was the color?
Silver.
All right. I see that there was something else that was initially written and then crossed out.
Yep, blue.
Okay. Who would have done that cross out?
Me.
All right. Looking at some of the other information on this, I believe you just read the license plate for us. Is the VIN number on there as well?
Yes.
All right. And could you go ahead and read the VIN number for us, please?
1C... 3CC 5F B1 AN 137502.
Thank you. I'd like to talk about the mileage that you write down. Is that your mileage?
It says service, right where it says mileage and service time?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So that's not the car's mileage?
No.
All right. And the service times, what are the two times that you put down?
12:52 is when I left, and 1:39 is when I got back.
Okay. And when you say left, left where?
Left the lot.
Left the lot. Oh, left the lot to go make the tow.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And then separate from that section, I'd like to ask about the reasons. What were the reasons that you checked off for why you were towing the car?
It was disabled and the type of truck that we have.
One of the last sections I'd like to ask about this particular slip is in your remarks section. You wrote two things. Could you please read those for us?
No registration and no phone.
Okay. And when you say no registration, would you have asked for a registration?
Yep.
Okay. And is that a normal part of your practice when you make a tow?
Yes. It's just to get the most accurate information on the vehicle itself.
Okay. And about the phone number, same thing?
Same thing.
Finally, you're the tow driver on this car, correct?
Yes.
All right. And did you go ahead and write down your initials on that?
Yep.
Okay. And what were your initials?
AS.
All right. If you could just go ahead and look at the screen behind you for a moment, can you just show us, just point generally where your initials are?
You're right there. It says tow driver.
Okay. Thank you. Just a moment, please, Your Honor. Mr. Sweeney, I know that you stated that when you made this tow, there were two male individuals that helped get things out of the car. Let me ask you, when you were making this tow, did you see any children at all?
No.
None whatsoever?
No.
All right. Thank you. I don't have any further questions for you, Mr. Sweeney. I believe defense counsel may have a few.
I do, Mr. Sweeney. My name's Caroline Smith. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
So the car was about 20 years old?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you respond to that location, is Manchester PD still there?
Typically, yeah.
Okay. Because once a car is disabled, especially in a busy intersection, they want to make sure people are moving around pretty safe, right?
Yep.
And your flatbed actually has to go a little bit into the intersection to put the car on the flatbed, right?
Yeah, depending on the angle of the car.
Okay. And if a car is parked straight as if going straight through a traffic light, that's the kind of thing that you would get straight in front of it to put it on the flatbed?
Yep.
Okay. And was the car unlocked?
I think so. I don't remember.
Okay. Do you go in to, like, make sure the brakes aren't on or anything like that before you tow?
Nope.
Okay. With a flatbed, you can just lift it up?
We pull it up with a tow cable.
Okay. And you don't check to make sure the parking brake's off?
Nope.
Okay. Fair to say that you probably were there within 20 minutes of when that car broke down?
Yeah.
Okay. And you drove over to, so the two guys that came up to get stuff out of the car, was the car already on the flatbed at that point?
Yeah.
And they came over and asked you if they could get some stuff out?
Yeah.
And you said, well, I got to get out of here. I'll pull over to the budget?
Yeah.
And then you stand aside and they go through the car and get stuff?
Yep.
Might be going through the front of the car?
They go wherever they can get access to.
Okay. And it was not locked, right?
No.
Didn't anybody give you the keys to the car?
Either they were in the ignition or they were handed to me, but I honestly don't remember.
You did have the keys, though?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you give them back for when they were going through the car, or did they give you the keys after they went through the car?
I don't remember.
Okay. Thank you.
Just briefly, Your Honor, Mr. Sweeney, you were asked a moment ago in regards to how long the car had been there, for maybe about 20 minutes. Do you know how long the car had been there in terms, when you say that 20 minutes, where does that number come from?
Yeah, just by the time we get the call and I get to the scene.
Do you know what time Manchester would have found that car or then turned around in the time between that and sending the note over to you guys to do the tow?
I have no idea. It's basically, once the police get to that particular scene, they just call us or they call somebody.
So you know the time when you got dispatched?
Yeah.
But not necessarily what happened?
Nope.
Thank you. No further questions.
Any follow-up?
When a car is broken down at a busy intersection, you try and get out there pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
Because that's a dangerous situation, right?
Yeah.
And so for a dangerous situation, things happen pretty quick.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Nothing further, Your Honor. We'd ask the witness to be excused, please.
You may step down. Any objection to his being excused?
May I have him on call?
Yes. Counsel, approach.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor. The state will call specifically Mr. Joseph Tucker to the stand.
Be careful of the wires as you're walking through.
Mr. Tucker, if you would please go ahead and take the witness stand and remain standing when you get there, sir. There we go. And Mr. Tucker, if you would please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you will give this jury will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Please feel free to have a seat.
Mr. Tucker, as we're being recorded here today, would you please state your full name and spell both your first and last name for the record?
Yes, sir. Joseph Tucker, J-O-S-E-P-H, and T-U-C-K-E-R.
Okay. And Mr. Tucker, are you currently employed?
I am, yes, sir.
Okay. And where do you work?
The Catholic Medical Center.
How long have you been working for them?
I just started back up in January.
Okay. And what do you do for them?
I'm the cybersecurity manager.
And prior to working for a Catholic Medical Center as the cybersecurity manager, where did you work?
Solution Health.
Solution Health?
Health.
Health, okay. Yes. And what was the time that you were working for them?
April 2022 until January of 2023.
And prior to that, and I will ask you to just, if you can even move a little bit closer to the microphone, I'll have you speak up just a little bit so I can hear you. Thank you. With regards to working for Secure Health, before that, where did you work?
Manchester Police Department, sir.
And again, I'm going to have you just kind of keep your voice up a little bit if you can.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. How long did you work for the Manchester Police Department?
Since 2015, so 8 years-ish.
Roughly that long?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And were you working there in January of 2022?
Yes.
All right. I'd like to ask you a couple different questions about when you were a Manchester police officer. First of all, were you a full-time certified officer?
I was, yes, sir.
Okay. And did you graduate from the New Hampshire State Police Training Academy?
I did, yes, sir.
When was that?
2012.
Around 2012?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember your academy class number?
163.
163. All right. And let me ask you, with regards to your work with the Manchester Police Department, were there any other sort of law enforcement jobs that you had prior to that?
I worked for the Laconia Police Department before I went to Manchester.
How long in Laconia?
2012 to 2015.
2012 to 2015, and then Manchester from 2015 to 2022?
Yes, sir. I did. I retired full-time from Manchester PD, and then I did about a year as a reserve officer working in, cybercrime.
Okay.
So I don't know if you include that.
Okay. Yep, that's what I'm asking about, is all your experience there. With regards to your different duties in the Manchester Police Department, could you explain to us some of the different units that you worked at, different assignments that you had prior to you working in the areas of being a detective?
Yes, sir. I worked in patrol. I worked midnights for all three shifts, midnights, 4 to 12, day shift. I had a canine saber. We were primarily on 4 to 12. I helped create the drone unit, so I was part of the drone unit, and then went up to detectives at that point, sir.
And then went to detectives after that?
Yes, sir.
As a detective, what were some of your responsibilities and duties?
I was fortunate enough, I was a cross between general detectives and then also the cybercrime unit. So I assisted in both, digital cases, ICAC tips, cybercrime tips, and then I also did general caseload for detectives.
General caseload, what does that mean?
Anything from, financial crimes, fraud, homicides, violent crimes.
And sure. How long did you do that?
I believe I went up in detectives in 2021.
2021?
Yes, sir.
Separate from that in detectives, did you have any work in doing processing, specifically looking at physical items to see if there's any evidence on them?
Yes, sir.
And in January of 2022, were you asked to assist other officers in doing a search of a 2010 Chrysler Sebring with New Hampshire registration 436-8206?
Yes, sir.
Where was that search done?
At the Manchester Police Department, and we have a vehicle processing bay, which is right outside of where the Sallyport is.
I imagine we might hear some testimony later on about this bay. So could you go ahead and describe it for the jury, please?
Sure. The bay itself, you can only access it from the secured back lot where we park most of the police vehicles. There is a two-garage Sallyport. The left side used to have, tactical vehicles, and then the right side is where we would drop prisoners off or transport prisoners. Just to the right of that is a single bay garage door that opens up. And then there's also a side door to access it. Both are secure. You need a your ID has to get in. And then inside of that bay, it could fit, it could probably fit a full-size pickup if you took the pickup and went sideways. But
so it's a good-sized garage.
Yeah, and then we had, so we had tools in there for disassembling vehicles, and then we had evidence supplies down there. So if any time, if it was inclement weather or it was a long search, you could utilize the bay.
Okay. Let me ask you, what was your role during this search of this 2010 Chrysler Sebring with the New Hampshire registration 4368206?
I was Detective O'Leary. He's now Sergeant O'Leary. He was, we joked around and called him the incident commander, but he was the guy that was in charge of all the crime scene processing. So I was more or less there to assist him.
And what were some of the things that you did to assist him, just generally?
Generally, collecting of evidence items, the log, if there was any pictures. We were blue starring, which is a process to try to obtain any blood samples from the vehicle. So sounds silly, but you have to turn the lights off for that. So I was the light guy, things like that.
The light guy, so literally turn the lights off, turn the lights on?
Yeah, and then you'd have to set the camera for, you know, 30 seconds, 60 seconds exposure to take the photo, so I would have a flashlight just so we could still navigate a little bit without the direct light.
So were you the one administering the Blue Star, or that was somebody else?
That was Detective O'Leary.
All right. Let me ask you, what roles do initials play at the Manchester Police Department when you're labeling evidence?
Generally speaking, when I initialed something, it was an item that I collected.
Okay, and what were your initials?
JMT.
So if you collected an item today, if you were going to collect this tissue box, and this was going to be an item of evidence that you went ahead and entered in at the Manchester Police Department, how would you have labeled this if this is your first item of the day?
Sure. The box itself would have been JMT1, and then any items inside the box, like tissues, would be JMT1-A-B and subsequently.
Okay. Oh, I could see that. So something like, let's
like
say...
Like a backpack.
Like a backpack.
JMT1, and then if you have an item in the backpack, you want a 1A, signifying that that item A came from 1.
When you were assisting in doing the search of this car, were there other officers there to help you as well, besides just yourself and Sergeant O'Leary?
Initially, there was a lot of in and out, a lot of people checking in.
All right. And with regards to the... items of physical items of potential evidence that you collected, do you remember how many that you directly took and initialed in the way that you just described for us?
Eight. Yes, sir.
Okay. So that would have been what, JMT1 through JMT8?
Yes, sir.
All right. Was one of those JMT7 a pink toothbrush?
Yes, sir.
More continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter, Harmony Montgomery, is on the way. Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's.
cold foam cold brew coffee and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September. I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September. I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September. I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.